Good morning again. Oh, Lord God, I feel your sweet presence here this morning. Lord, you're touching your people. You're working in us. Lord, equip us so you can work through us. Send forth your word, Lord, which does not return void. And open our hearts to receive it. Open heaven for us this morning, Lord. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's getting real out there. Have you noticed that? Things are getting really stirred up. But God's in control. Is God up there in heaven wringing his hands, walking around, pacing back and forth on the floor, saying, oh my, what am I going to do? He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. God is in control. Ephesians 1, 3 through 14 was our opening scripture. I guess I better turn there. Actually, I'm not going to read the whole thing. But there's some words that keep jumping out in that passage. The good pleasure of his will. The mystery of his will. The good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. The purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Why? Verse 12 speaks of the praise of his glory. Verse 14 also speaks of the praise of his glory. But verse 6 expands on this and it says, the praise of the glory of his grace. God has a purpose. Turn to Romans 8:28. It's a very familiar verse to most people. For we know that all things work together for good to those that love God and are the called according to his purpose. Starts out with the word we. We know that all things work together for good to those that love God and are the called according to his purpose. We know. That's a statement that Paul made that says he's not alone in his belief. But it's also an invitation, isn't it? To join him in his belief. We know. Is he saying he's persuaded? Is he saying he believes? He reckons? Is he saying that he's determined that all things work together for good to those that love God? Are they called according to his purpose? He's saying more than that. What he's saying is that I know that I know that I know that I know that I know. And you can keep going on and on with that. It's inside us. It's burning in us. We know. He's at work. He's God. Has God ever failed you? He's never failed me. We know that all things work together for good. Is he saying a couple things? A few things? A handful of things? Several? Dozens? A lot of things? Many things? most things. He's saying all things. That's an important word. Every time you read that in the scripture, stop and look at it. Let it burn itself into your heart. Because there's a lot of promises in the Bible that have that word all in it. God wouldn't say all if he didn't mean all. God doesn't waste words. All things work. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. God's at work in each one of us. God works. God works in mysterious ways. Actually, there's two meanings to that word work. One is the effort that's put forth, but there's also the effectiveness of what he does. You change a light bulb and you go over and hit the light switch, for those of you that don't leave the light switch on when they change the light bulb. You go over and you turn on the light and the light comes on and you say what? You say, it works. Guess what? God works. Even when we don't notice it. I heard my sermon preached up here, and that's good. You know, I didn't really, I knew what the songs were going to be, but I didn't have any input into the songs this week whatsoever. And it's just amazing that the Lord prepares a way for things the way he does. That's because he's working. All things work together. Each incident plays an important part in it. For good. To those that love God. Does that mean only for those that love God? How about those that are going to love God? All things work together for good for them too. Don't give up on your loved ones. Keep praying for them. Who are the called according to his purpose? A lot of translations say, who are called according to his purpose. And that's good. But I like the way the King James and the New King James words it, the called. It kind of sets us apart. It's for those that respond to his calling, isn't it? The called according to his purpose. In the verses that follow Romans 8:28, there's a chain of verbs listed. Foreknew, conformed, predestinated, called, justified, glorified. But they all start with one thing. They all start with God's purpose. God's plan. His purpose always comes first. He had a purpose and a plan before he created the world, before he created us. He knew every problem you were going to have. And he had a solution for it. Jeremiah 29:11, in the King James Version, it says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. The New American Standard Version, and actually, there's one of the few verses I like better than the King James. In this verse, anyway, one of the few verses. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for prosperity, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. God's plans. When did he have those plans? Before he created us. God has a plan for each of us. Who gets in the way of that plan? Well, I don't know if that really stops him, because he knows all things. He knows everything we're going to do. And if we're his, well, God is building something in each one of us. Philippians 1:6, talks about he that's begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it. He's faithful to complete it. For we know that all things work together for good to those that love God and are thee called according to his purpose. You notice it doesn't say all things have worked together for good. It doesn't say all things will work together for good, although both of those are true. It says all things will work together. A lot of times, you know, we look back at the past and we see what God's brought us through. And we can thank God for it. And we can thank God for what he's going to do based on what's in the past. But sometimes when we're in the future, in the here and now, and we're facing something, it's not as easy to thank God, is it? Because that's now. I'll thank him when he gets me through it, you know. And too often we ignore what's happening in the present, or we don't thank him for it. We find it hard to be thankful for what's happening now. Ephesians 5:20 tells us to give thanks always for all things. When are we supposed to give thanks? Always. For what things? There's that word again. All things. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. No matter what's going on, no matter what's happened, no matter what's going to happen, just remember, he knows the plans he has for you to give you a future and a hope. In Genesis chapter 37, it starts a story about a man named Joseph. And Joseph, I don't know, when he was younger, he probably wasn't that easy to live with. I don't know. Typical little brother, probably. But he had some dreams, and he used to brag about them to his brothers. And they had a problem with him. In fact, the problem got so bad one day when he came looking for them, they grabbed him and threw him in a pit and were going to kill him. But just in time, God does a lot of things just in time, some Midianite traders came by and they decided they're going to sell him into slavery to Egypt. So they did. Chester A. Reilly would have said at that point, what a revolting development this is. Everybody remember Chester A. Reilly? I don't know why I thought of him, but what a revolting development this is. How could things possibly get any worse? They did, because then he went from slavery, he went to prison because his wife, or Potiphar's wife, was making accusations about him. But we all know what happened with Joseph, don't we? Back in Romans chapter 8, it talked about God foreknew him, conformed him, predestinated him, called him, justified him, and glorified him. He was exalted. He was raised up to the throne, to second in command, anyway, in Egypt. And then when his family came needing food, and they realized who he was, or they learned who he was, and after their father died, and they went to him, and they said, you know, our fathers asked to, you know, that you not take it out on us, what we did. And Joseph said in chapter 50, verse 20, and this is the equivalent, an Old Testament equivalent of Romans 8:28. He said, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. We don't see the big picture. We look at our little world and what's going on with us, and we don't know what God has planned. But God has a plan. You know, I've I think it'd probably be easy to think that when we get to heaven, we have a long talk with Adam and Eve about everything they did, right? You know the trouble you caused? In Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 through 19, God pronounced curses on the serpent, the woman, and the man. The curse on the serpent actually is a promise for a Messiah. But let's take a closer look at the curses God pronounced on Adam and Eve. And because of them, those curses, we got them too, didn't we? Galatians 3:13 says that Jesus was made a curse for us. He took our place. Staying in Genesis chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, God said, I will multiply your sorrows. The sorrow of childbirth for the woman, the sorrow of tilling the ground for the man. And yet Isaiah 53:3 says about Jesus, it's a messianic passage, he was a man of sorrows. Verse 18 of Genesis chapter 3, the man is said to the man, the ground will bring forth thorns and thistles. John 19:5 tells us that Jesus wore a crown of thorns and thistles. Verse 19 talks about the sweat of your face, you'll eat bread. But Luke 22:44 talks about Jesus in Gethsemane praying, and his sweat was like drops of blood. It's actually a medical thing where the veins collapse or the veins pop open, and he's praying so hard and in such anguish that the sweat literally turned to blood. And they fell to the ground. Verse 19 says, dust thou art, and to dust shalt thou return. Psalm 22:15, that's a very amazing passage of Scripture. It talks about crucifixion, death by crucifixion, many, many years before crucifixion was even done. But it describes crucifixion. Psalm 22, verse 15 says, thou hast brought me to the dust of death. Verse 24 in Genesis 3 talks about a flaming sword that guards the way to the tree of life. And Zechariah 13:7, talking about Jesus, said, awake, O sword, against my shepherd. The sword is judgment. He took judgment. Who did he take the judgment for? For us. If we will receive it, right? Verse 24 in Genesis 3 says that God drove them from his presence. He turned his face away from them. Matthew 27:46 says, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I've always thought that the thing about everything that Jesus went through that he dreaded the most was having God the Father turn his face from him. He knew the pain he was going to go through. But to be separated from the one that he was one with. And it had been one with for all eternity. Of course, that's just my opinion, but I think it's probably true. Jesus took our place. Did he reverse the curse? No. But he reversed the effects of the curse. And he reversed our eternal destiny. Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to those that love God and are thee called according to his purpose. You know, if God had taken Adam and Eve and restored their position, that would have been great. If God had put them back in the garden, that would have been wonderful. But he didn't. Romans 5:20 says that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Isaiah 55:7 talks about when we come to him, he will abundantly pardon. Literally, that means ever-increasing amounts each time we come. We come with the same sin, guess what? There's more grace there to forgive us than there was the last time we came. Each time we come, there's more. With God, there's always more. Phone's ringing. If that's for me, I'm not here. Yeah. They'll leave a message. From Arthur W. Pink's commentary, Gleanings in Genesis, he talks about the situation back then and how it affects us, or how, because of what Jesus Christ did, it affects us. Before the fall, man dwelt in an earthly paradise. But Ephesians 2:6 says, we sit with Christ in heavenly places. Before the fall, man possessed a natural life. But we've been made partakers of the divine nature, and we will have eternal life. Before the fall, Adam was merely innocent, which is actually a negative condition. But we are forgiven. That's a positive condition. We are forgiven and we are declared righteous because of what Jesus Christ did when he took the curse from us. Before the fall, Adam was Lord of Eden. We're heirs of all things, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Does that mean we're going to inherit something if God dies? No, God isn't going to die. But that means we enjoy that position. That's who we are. Before the fall, Adam was just a created being. He was a creature. But we are members of the body of Christ. So you see, everything, what Adam and Eve did, God took that. The worst thing that could possibly happen, the thing that created all the problems in the world, and he's turned it around for good. He can do that for us, can't he? No matter what we're going through. Through grace, we can experience a deeper joy than was possible with Adam and Eve. Our sins are forgiven. We have a firsthand knowledge of God's mercy. We have a closer relationship with God than was possible before the fall. We know his love, don't we? We've been brought into a union with deity itself. The Son of God is not ashamed to call us his brothers and sisters. The fall provided the need for redemption. And through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ on the cross, we believers have an inheritance in a future that Adam, before the fall, couldn't even imagine. Proving to us just how true Romans 5:20 is, where sin abounded, grace abounded more. And also proving the truth in Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good to those that love God and are thee called according to his purpose. His purpose. His plan. The counsel of his will. His good pleasure. All things work together for good. Lord God, we praise you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the plan you have for each one of us. Lord, just work in us. Fulfill your plan. Lord, bless your people this morning. Keep us close to you, Lord. Keep us ever mindful of your love. and that you are in control. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.